This is the Monday, June 16th, 2008 regular session of Commissioners Court. We'll start this morning with a few moments of silence and then we will stand for our pledges. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honoring the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item one on the agenda is our public comment. If anyone would like to speak to the court. Then we'll move on to item two, which is to consider and take action on approval of recording of payroll changes.
Good job. That's a discussion on this here. I was in the county clerk's office. She's hired three part-time employees. Looking at her budget, I'm just questioning where she's going to pay these employees out of it. She can let us know.
Judge, I'm going to pay the employees part-time and measures our times. We're going to have employees that have sick. I have money. Here's a budget amendment to move money from my regular payroll into part-time.
One employee that was out of workers' comp and did not get paid for approximately 6 weeks. And that money, and she was paid off workers' comp, not out of salary line item. Removed that money from salary line item for her department, her full-time department. These are temporary just for the summer to get caught up on the document. And then part-time that she has out sick right now is not accruing any benefits, and that she's been out for approximately 6 weeks now also, and she's bringing a temporary part-time for that position. So I believe this permanent part-time is a back all the
on the permanent part-time that we're talking about, is she not being supplemented by the state?
No.
She's not under any program. Any of those programs that we have, like Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Senior Texas.
Oh,
so she's not participating in that?
Right here.
Okay.
And
Judge, also need to say that it's the auditor and the treasurer for this decision to spend this money to make sure that it was there to spend.
Okay.
And Judge, looking at what the clerk has got, she has what, you know, this is as of yesterday afternoon. There is no money budgeted or left in the part-time line item.
I just gave you a budget amendment this morning.
Yes, sir. You want to pull, what you want to do is move money from her regular salary line
that's
item.
Right,
whatever.
That
and that money is already set aside when we budget
that
her salary.
In the regular full-time, without a worker's comp, they not get paid by the county, so she's going to have a corporate in that account on her line item. We're just moving it from that part, that line item down to part-time.
That'll take care of one employee.
No, there's enough money there to cover her two part-time employees.
Okay, the request I've got here is the clerk wants to hire three part-time employees at $7 an hour. $7 an hour if they work 40 hours a week. It's going to be 200.
Part time is not 40 hours.
How many hours are they going to work?
Judge, they're going to work until the money is gone or until in the records archives until the employee comes back. And they will reverse.
Okay.
Judge, I still don't see where money's at. removing money from a salary line item that we have budgeted for this department. If we've got $1,093.33 in there that should be played with. That's not going to, I'd like to know how long it's going to work. It's not going to, they're not going to be part-time very long, the way it looks like according to money.
She was given the total, checked it out, and she knows how many hours she can work. That's her department.
In the past, have we ever done that?
No.
We move money all the time for other departments.
We move money all the time, but since I've been here, we have never taken any money out of regular salary line item. Never.
To a part-time, it's the same thing. It's just a different code. It's in basically in that part of the budget under salaries. And you have done it because I've had one employee when I was short last year. I paid her for 2 or 3 days making up. Because I had the money there, I left the money in my budget instead of using all of that. But I moved part of that to pay my part-time person because I was falling behind.
But the purpose of a part-time line item in the budget is to budget for something when you've got a full-time employee that leaves service for a little while. And I don't think we should move money out of the full-time salary.
Just put that code on there.
Well, then we need to put the code on there, and it's not coded correctly for us to approve.
Because he's trying to do it, and I was trying to do it correctly like we're supposed to do it, so the public will know exactly what's going on, and so you will know what's going on. Because we worked together on this, and she came to us, she asked us, we went forward just like we would with any other department.
Point is, we shouldn't move money out of a salary line item that's been budgeted into another line item, whether it's part-time or whether it's temporary employment or whatever the case might be. We budgeted the salary line item for regular employees or whatever.
Mr. Critton, I've been here many years and we've done it.
Does that make it correct, Ms. Harris? Of course, done other things.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to argue anymore. That's just...
Thank you. Judge, I don't think that we should... I don't know what the rest of the court thinks about this, but I don't think we should pull money out of the regular line item to pay a part-time salary for. When the clerk proposed her budget this past year, she had a line item in there called part-time that evidently was not budgeted with enough money in there.
I'm sure she didn't anticipate she'd have an employee out. And so, I understand what she's doing. The auditor and the treasurer both, and the treasurer as the payroll person have signed off on it.
Said all that things correct.
Would you rather pay her out of the full-time line item?
That one employee, you could designate that one employee to be paid out of the full,
You have a certain amount of money budgeted in payroll.
I'm saying right now, Mr. Smith, there's not going to be enough money in there to pay two more employees, whether they're part-time or full-time. I understand the third employee, you can pay out the employee that is on leave right now. There's not available
two people
work.
In there at $7 an hour, you got $3,000 to spend. You're going to divide $3,000 by $7, and that's how many hours she's going to work.
And as auditor and oversees her of the money, how long can she work those employees with the amount of money that she's in?
$3,000 by $7. I can't do it in my head, if you want to be.
$3,000 by $7.
Yes. How many hours?
That's going to be about $433, $450.
Okay, she could work those two part-timers for 450 hours.
Three part-timers.
One is coming out of records archive where the part-time person is out sick right now. That one, you're not proving that we are not moving line item out of records archive. This is just general fund.
That person that's out sick, are they not being paid?
No. Okay. The part-time. They got $3,000 in Fund 10, general fund, that she could use for payroll that has not been used this year.
How much?
$3,000 in the budget amendment that I'm suggesting.
This coming out of Fund 10?
Fund 10, from 1,200 line item to 13 line item. You divide $3,000 by $7, you get $400 that she can work with department. I don't understand where the confusion is there.
There is no confusion. It's plain that we shouldn't be moving money out of that line item.
So would you rather than pay it out of the regular full-time line item and not have...
What are we on?
You said about one employee. Yeah, about one employee. You've got one employee that's already working.
I'll just clear my throat.
We're just going to cut. We'll come back. We'll have to move money right back into that salary line item.
To make it easier for the taxpayers to understand what was going on.
No, we're not.
Is why I requested it to be moved into part-time.
Stand by that?
I'll stand by that.
Records.
All right.
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you, bud.
Second.
There's a motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Campbell to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
That was the payroll.
Oh, sorry.
Payroll changes.
Payroll changes.
Yeah, that was payroll changes. Sorry. Those in favor of approving payroll changes?
Aye.
That's those opposed?
Aye.
That's approved.
I don't ask for any more salary line item money this year.
Item B is a payroll.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Crittenden to approve payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll is approved. Item C are the budget amendments.
Motion to approve.
Some discussion on those two, please, sir.
Yes, sir. Did you say you had some discussion on those?
Yes, sir. I wanted to. I just some quick things here on page 3 under JP1. I'm sorry.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Campbell to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Budget amendments are approved. Item D are the accounts payable.
That's what I got some discussion.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Page 3, under JP1, Department 451. What was the 125 supervision fee that we're paying that employee up there?
We've been paying that all year from the new budget. They do supervision on Saturdays. What I understand, it was provided in their budget. You all voted on it. So it's been paid every month.
It's tracked. They do community service.
Yes.
Okay. Then on page 4, under treasurer's office.
Yes.
Looking at Ms. V. Look at the mileage here. That does not compute. If she did 34.5 miles, I think she should be reimbursed more than $5.05.
Part of that comes out of that.
Right? Should be $17.42.
Some of that comes out of non-departmental.
She is paid by my office, but she is also paid out of non-departmental out of postage because we go for all the postage for all the, and it's been paid like that for several years. Now, if you can look in non-departmental and you'll see the difference. And then you look at my budget, budget and add the two together, and that will make up her whole amount. Each of my girls, there are a lot of times I'm way under trying to get money in, and they'll go to the bank for me.
Yeah, that's fine. That's all. And it's just $5.05 then, I thought.
That's correct, because that's when they went, but they go to the post office every day. And
motion to approve accounts.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Ferguson to approve accounts payable. Those in favor?
Thank you.
Accounts payable are approved. Item E is to accept for recording various Commissioner Court documents, including but not limited to the following: auditor's reports, Upshur County drug and alcohol policy, oaths, deputation certificates.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Ferguson to record those documents. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those documents are recorded. Item F are the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Campbell, second by Commissioner Ferguson to approve the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 3 is to consider bids on property foreclosed for delinquent taxes.
Morning, Emma.
Morning.
I have two bids, two properties this morning with one bid each. First property, I hesitate to bring you. We had this same bid a year ago and was turned down for the same amount of money, but I'll resubmit it. It's Commissioner Precinct 2, described as lots 5, 9, and 10, Block 10, Davenport Survey, which is located north of War City on the east side of 259. The appraisal district has a value of $11,980. We struck it off for $10,146. We have a bid for $2,000.
I moved to accept $2,000 bid.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Crittenden to accept the $2,000 bid on lots 5, 9, and 10, Block 2 of the VD Davenport subdivision. Those in favor?
Aye.
That bid is accepted.
Next property I have is located in Commissioner Precinct 4. It's described as 0.99 acres, more or less, located in the Thomas Gillespie Survey, Abstract 191. It's located on Farnham Market Road 852. The appraisal district has a value of $10,990 on it. We struck it off for $5,695. We have a bid for $3,025.
So to accept the $3,025.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Campbell, second by Commissioner Ferguson to accept the $3,025 bid on the 0.99 acre, more or less, located in the Thomas Gillespie. Those in favor?
Thank you, gentlemen.
That bid is accepted. Thanks, Mr. Smith. Item 4 is to hear from the Upshur County retired teachers concerning volunteer service hours to Upshur County citizens, and they requested that we move that to the 30th, so that won't. Item 4 will not require any action today. Item 5 is to discuss and take action concerning plastering over the glass blocks on the exterior of the Justice Center.
We have some broke blocks down there, I'm sure all of you are aware of. And I went out and got two bids. And one was $4,500 to just go over the blocks with plaster. And the other one was $1,664 if we want to do this.
Why do they want this block?
They're just broke.
They're yeah, broke.
We can cover them up.
Oh, okay.
And we can $1,664. Now, if we want to wait till budget, I can go in there with some steel mortar and just fill. There's some holes in there where kids can get their hand in and get cut or something. If y'all want to wait till budget to do this because we're out of money in our facilities improvement.
We
can go in there with just some step mortar and patch over those. It won't look very beautiful, but this is up to y'all.
What was the price of replacing the blocks in there?
I didn't get a bid. It would be outrageous.
Be more than $4,500, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Sheriff, did you have a comment?
The maintenance and Commissioner Parkson have got that. It's temporary right now, and I think it's way too good because if y'all want to, because we'll just have to keep an eye on it. If maintenance and my staff will keep an eye on it, I think Commissioner Parkson is probably right with the plate. Because they've got plexiglass up there now, and it's just holding. So,
okay.
Inside is the zone, the training area, and most people are aware of it there.
Well, and I will, but I'll say this too. And I appreciate that, Sheriff. If we wanted to accept the $1,600 bid, we could.
We have money in contracted services out of non-departmental, and we also still have some money in contingency.
We'd be able to find it. You've gone to the trouble of getting the bids, and
well,
I know you wouldn't mind doing it again later, but.
It'd probably be higher later. That's like everybody else.
Is that to do all the blocks or just the ones that are broken?
That's just cover that hole?
That's to cover that wall. It'll match the rest of it. In other words, he's going over the entire wall, plumb to the gutters, and bring it all in. It'll match. It'll look nice.
As you enter the main doors under the portico or the porch, it's those bricks there on your left.
Well, let's fix it.
Do we have to do anything to the inside also?
Mm-mm. There'll just be glass on the inside. There'll just be glass bricks on the inside. But they're not broken on the inside. Those hollow bricks, the way they are, they're just, somebody's tapped them out on the outside.
Rocks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly from lava.
But you said there was a possibility that children could get their hands in there and get cut. Is there some concern that maybe that happened? How did you get sued? Is that...
Yeah. Because when they have jail visitation, they have a lot of children out there. Y'all want to go in there?
Let's fix it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I move to accept the $1,664 bid from Plastering Systems Incorporated, Gilmer, Texas.
Second.
You may make a copy.
Plastering Systems Incorporated.
And that was good.
Here in Gilmer.
Is that Lee?
It's Dwayne Lee.
Dwayne Lee.
That's Barney.
Barney.
Dwayne Lee.
And that money's going to be taken out of contract to do services.
We probably need to pay it out of... facilities improvement, and then we'll move money into facilities improvement. That way we be able to keep better track of exactly what we spent this year.
So we'll do that for the budget in the next meeting then?
Yes.
But we're going to move the money from contract to services, right?
Yes. Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Crittenden to approve the expenditure of $1,664 to plaster those bricks there at the Justice Center. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 6 is to discuss and take action concerning a request from the district clerk to purchase a digital microfilm machine with funds out of the Upshur County Records Management Fund. And Ms. Bullock has requested that we pass this item until the 30th also. So item 6 will not require any action. Item 7 is to discuss and take action to approve the policy for the Upshur County sick leave pool. And I worked on it for a while and got it finished, so I'm certainly amiable to any kind of criticism or anything that y'all think could be done better whatever y'all want to say about it. Not going to hurt my feelings.
I'm just going to make some recommendations here. And I do appreciate what you've done on here.
took a lot to do it. First off, on the first page here, we read that we're going to have three voting members. That's correct. There's only going to be three members of the board.
Yeah, that's the way I wrote it. We could certainly have any number.
Okay. Now, if we approve this policy today, when will their term actually begin? When are we going to implement this policy?
I think that it would go into effect in September. You want it in September? The way I had it in mind was that we could say it starts October the 1st. I also had it in mind that if we adopted it now, then anybody who was eligible would have 30 days to get signed up, and then it would start in 30 days.
Okay, but they wouldn't be eligible to use it 30 days unless they already had 54 accrued hours, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I had worked here for a year.
Been here for a year and still had 54 full hours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I guess my concern is the employee that's off, I assume he's still off now, would he be eligible to draw from this pool? Because he's already exhausted everything. He's not going to have the 54 hours, and we didn't have this pool in effect at the time we adopted it.
I believe he's already covered by the previous
600. Yeah, we gave him 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That you did?
Yeah.
Judge, could I make one suggestion on the forms that you have here?
Right.
The only thing is that you take off the social security number and you put the employee
ID. Okay.
My question was on the first issue here. There, if we start October the 1st, is that going to be the anniversary? I mean, is that going to be when we vote new officers in or a new officer in next year? Is that going to be the fiscal year of it?
Yes, if we begin it, if the policy begins October the 1st, enrollment would begin in September. So. Anyone that was eligible this September would be able to start applying.
Okay, and so we would nominate or new officers would change hands every October, is that correct?
That's correct.
The basic thrust of this thing is to let some employees donate some of the sick leave time to us. Is that correct?
Well, yes, it creates a pool for hours. And then what it does is it takes those hours away from the employees and places them in a pool. And you have to be a member of that pool in order to draw from those hours. Bottom line is you have to be an employee of the county for at least 1 year. And you have to be full-time. You have to have accrued at least 54 hours of sick time, which means that you wouldn't have taken off more than 2 days in your first year. Really, the way to say that is that if you've only been here a year, you haven't taken off more than 2 days that first year. And then it's limited to basically 8 weeks. That's the amount of hours that you could draw. If you join, you're required to give 16 hours. You can give a maximum of 32 hours each year, and then you're required to give 16 hours annually.
As I understand it, it can't be used unless everything else is exhausted.
That's correct. Then once you're a member, in order to use those hours, you have to make the application to a three-member board. And then you have to have basically a letter from your doctor. The doctor signs a form that gives an estimate of how long you'll be out sick, and he has to certify that you're unable to perform your work duties. And then that document, along with the request for withdrawal, is submitted to a three-member board who then votes to accept the...
Does the court appoint board?
the court appoints the board from regular or elected officials, regular employees or elected officials.
Motion to approve.
Before we do that, I think we should, I'm still against the whole thing, but if we are going to adopt it, I want to see if we can't get this in there. I don't think any one person should be able to draw out of the whole pool. I think we need to put a percentage on the pool for one person to use. I mean, it might not be, I don't know that it would get necessary, but...
Well, yeah, I think it would do whatever. If a person with catastrophic illness, let's say cancer or whatever, and he or she had to use this, they're probably going to exhaust what's on here is 320 hours. If they had a relapse in that year, they could come back and still need it because they would not have been able to work that year to accumulate enough hours to be eligible to draw from the pool again. So I think we need a stipulation there where it stipulates that, the, you know, if you've got 320 hours, the employee can only draw a percentage of that to leave hours in there available for other employees that need to right. use what they have donated. But on this back page here, Judge, and the last sentence on here says, for an individual occurrence. And they could be limited to 320 hours. You see what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
So they could draw, if they had another occurrence in 4 or 5 months, then that would make them eligible for another 320 hours the way it's worded. So I think possibly we need to look at redoing maybe that portion of it there. Otherwise, you could, like I say, you could have one right. employee that could exhaust it. Especially starting
if we just if we put a I don't know how many people's going to participate, so we don't know how many is going to be in there. But no one person should be able to draw. We don't want to draw it down to where there's not enough in there for the second person if it happens.
Right. Hector County's got a good clause in there. Here it says the maximum number of days granted to an employee each year shall not exceed 1/3 of the total amount of time in the pool at the time of the request, or 90 days, whichever is less. And the other ones that we've been provided, we've looked at, I think they also had a stipulation, something that was similar to that there.
What county was that?
That was Hector County.
Oh, yes.
But now that's not the only one that's got that stipulation in there. And I, too, like Mr. Perkins, frankly, I'm not for this. I still think that we should offer an insurance option, but if the county wants to, if this is what the county wants to do, then I think it's the easiest and best. Whatever we just
okay.
The other things that
to change to that 1/3.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't bother me.
That's fine. I'd get Glenn to.
But I mean, it's. Did you want to say something else, Commissioner Creedon?
Yes, sir. Unless. Did you want to stay on that for just a minute and get that off, get your notes down?
No, I got that.
Okay. On the second page here, under enrollment and donation of hours, it says that the eligible date of enrollment is going to be each September. Yet when you go down about 2/3 of that column there, it says that donations of sick leave hours shall only be allowed in January of each year. So does that mean that you enroll in September, but you can't donate any hours until the following January? You're eligible to be in the system, it looks like, but you can't donate anything. Do you see where I'm reading here?
Mm-hmm.
This right here, each September, when we come down here. I'm sorry, buddy.
That's
Where does it say September?
The 11th.
I think that the judge should have talked about that.
Yeah, they...
And they can enroll in everything in September, but to keep it easier, because it's going to be longer and people and things like that, but whoever did all that, we would make sure that all of it was taken in June each year from that person, all in one way, everybody. Because we're putting in, we're doing a new budget, doing hopefully pay raises.
So they'll designate in September, but it will be put into the pool in July, in January.
Because that's the beginning of the year, and it's just easier because we're changing everything on payroll, from taxes to everything. And the judge and I talked about this, so, but that's been a while, so.
So what if you've got an employee that falls in that area there, and he enrolls in September, and then is struck and needs to use it between then and January?
Most people, if they're going to donate, they've got extra time to be sick, or you know, to take off sick time or comp time.
Well, I guess it would work like our Benny card. When you put it on there, you've designated it, so it's there.
And if we're going to limit it to one third of the pool, then if there's no hours there, then
right.
And right now we have.
Okay, now also another and county also here. It says that this is. I guess I was going to ask this question here. What would be the benefit of an employee donating more than the minimum amount of hours? I mean, there would probably be no benefit other than it would just grow the pool. That employee then is going to be less that many more hours, personally or whatever. You know, because the minimum is 16 hours, I believe you had on here.
Right.
Okay, up to 32 hours, is that right? Yeah, 32 hours. So actually, everybody could donate the minimum and still be eligible for the maximum amount of benefit. But in the example that I just asked, between September and January, Hector County also has a clause in there that says a member of the pool who exhausts all of his or her accrued paid leave and compensatory time to which the employee is otherwise entitled may withdraw from the pool for a non-catastrophic illness the exact number of days the member had contributed that fiscal year. Mm-hmm.
Not under our policy. Not under the way I wrote this one.
Right, no, that's one.
Once you've given the hours, they're gone.
But that's where I say that would fall into play between that September and January. If you had somebody that had donated, say, 16 hours and already exhausted everything, they would not be eligible to draw any hours out of the pool until January. But if that clause is in there, they would have another 16 or up to 32 hours in our case, or whatever, which is 2 to 4 days. And that's, you know, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it may be enough to help. But that was the reason for the question there, whatever. Not, you know, like I say, this is just points that I'm bringing out here, and if the court wants to make amendments
right
to this or whatever.
There are 223 employees, and when we take off juvenile and adult, we average about 175 employees. Several of those are part-time, so I'd say about 170 that would probably, give or take someone that just come to work, but you're going to have at least 150 that would be able to do, even if they want to join.
So is this available for probation also?
No, they're under a different, they're with the state on their health insurance, they're on ours, and they run theirs a little different, them and general.
And then also, Judge, on here, there was one other area I wanted to address, and it's three illnesses or whatever, but as far as pregnancy, if there was complications after the fact, we don't have a clause in here where it says, pertain to pregnancy, which the other counties got here, that if that person was put back in the hospital, they would qualify to draw off of here. Chemotherapy for cancer, say they've been in the hospital, but then they have to take, you know, they've already been in the hospital for the illness, but they're going to be on the therapy,
and they're going to have to go back in and take the treatments. That means that they're probably not going to feel like or be able to come back to work. And stipulate 1 to 4 days that they could be covered on that because they're not going to be eligible to work. But yet they could draw that pool. And the other one was a stress-related illness would only be covered if they were hospitalized. And I find most of those three items there in the other policies that the other counties have adopted. And I would like to clarify as much as we can so we don't have to come back and amend this sometime in the future or whatever. And those are just points I wanted to bring before the court for the court to consider.
You're saying you want to limit the number of hours they could withdraw for those illnesses?
No, they're not actually stipulated here. What, you know, are you talking about like pregnancy and the...
Right.
Okay. If the lady has been in the hospital when there's complications, she's going to be able to draw from the pool. But say she comes home and then something happens to her and she has to go back in or whatever. Your pregnancy is not addressed here, you know, specifically like I've seen done in the other one, in the other counties here.
Okay. Well, I think it's covered if, in the attending physician's opinion, they're unable to perform their work duties.
Okay, and the same with the chemo and the same with the stress related.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be covered there, okay. That was all the points I had on it. I think you did a good job, brother. There was a lot to do there, so. So are we going to change anything on here?
Well, the notes I've got are the forms. We'd need to change the Social Security number to the employee ID number, and then we would change the total number of hours that could be awarded out of the pool to 320 or one-third, whichever number is lower.
Okay. And as far as the activation date, when will an employee be able to draw out of this pool?
Well,
certainly not before there's a board of directors.
They wouldn't, I mean, you got a good point. If we allow everybody to join in September, there won't be any hours available until January under the way it's written. So that's when they'd be able to draw hours. You can't withdraw any hours, I mean, until there's hours there, of course, which would be January.
We will have quite a few.
I probably need to clean that up because that's bothering me a little bit. I mean, if the intent is to allow someone to join within 30 days of becoming eligible, then they need to be able to give their hours right then and not wait until January. So.
Just want to pick.
January, right?
Do what now?
But this won't affect new employees. They got to be here a year before they can join it anyway.
You can move everything to September, and that'll be fine. We'll take care of it. We need to take care of it.
Okay.
It's going to start October 1. They start putting in September, and it starts October 1 for new budget.
Okay.
We'll work out.
So take that clause out. If we remove that clause, member donations of sick leave hours should only be allowed in January of each year, then they would be able to begin in October the 1st.
So the paperwork, their hours will be taken out at the time they enroll and be put into the pool?
Yes.
Is this, we're going to allow just to enroll them at any time they come eligible? We're not going to have a enrollment period?
We need, well, that's what the thing was for set to.
Yeah. But it will be available for them to enroll any time through the year that they want to?
Once they become eligible.
Once they become eligible, right.
And
is that okay with you? Or do you want to make everybody have to, you got to wait until September?
It doesn't make any difference because if we have one or two at a time, it may be easier to have 100 or something in one way. But we've done it both ways. I mean, when we had to change insurance and everything, just, so there's not a good time or a bad time. We'll be in it. My office always does, so.
So it's not confusing for us for the employees that's going to become eligible to draw. Eligible to enroll.
But I'm not trying to get you to do it. I want you to do what you want to do.
So then the enrollment would be September.
The last working day of September.
They need to enroll in the month of September for it to go into effect, like October 1.
But they would have the whole month of September enrolled.
Or if it's whenever you want to start.
Okay.
That's the whole purpose of the thing is to get it well, in place. That's what I'm sure.
I sort of think that we probably should just have an enrollment once a year. I don't know that we should have an enroll anytime you want to. I think we need to have an enrollment period, and you have to enroll just like our insurance policy. You know, if you don't do it right now, you're going to have to wait till next year.
Well, unless you're a new employee.
Right.
Right.
And that's the way it's written.
Okay.
At the time that they're eligible.
When you're initially eligible, you have to join within 30 days.
Okay.
Or wait till next September.
Yeah. We will try to give them notice of that. That's just like with employees' longevity. There's a lot of times in my office will say, okay, these people have made their response. You need to do a sheet that will go through court. So, whatever's best for the employee, you know, the way that we can get it done. But like we do, enrollments for 125, I mean, that would be cut up. And I mean, we can do that at the same time, or we can have another date for that enrollment for that.
So if you can handle all that at one time, I think you'd probably save you time.
Well, September is a very easy month for the auditor and I, because of the end of the year stuff. But, you know, my office is here to handle.
You want me to make these corrections and then bring it back on the 30th?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
At what point in time are we going to appoint the board of directors?
What's wrong with making a motion to approve it with corrections, with the corrections that has been discussed?
That's fine with me, too.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
And for the record, the corrections would be under membership, enrollment, and donation of hours. The sentence, member donations of sick leave hours shall only be in January of each year, is deleted. On the last page, the very last sentence of the policy, the number of pool hours awarded to any member for an individual occurrence of injury or illness shall be limited to 320 pool hours or one-third of the total existing pool hours, whichever number is less. And then on each form page, instead of the Social Security number, it's the employee ID number. The motion is made by Commissioner Campbell, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
It passes. Item, thank y'all. Item 8 is to discuss and take action to approve the Upshur County Clerk's Records Management Plan, and we need to move this to the 30th also. That actually needs to be a separate agenda item, and I misunderstood the clerk, and so we'll need to begin on the 30th. We'll need to begin about 10 minutes earlier than the normal court so that we can approve that plan. It takes a separate agenda, actually, so we'll handle that on the 30th. Item 9 is to discuss and take action to approve the use of the lot next to the Roberts Building for Gilmer Main Street for the presentation of a movie on the evening of June 26th. And what they want to do is just let people bring quilts and sit out there on the grass, and they're going to show the movie on the side of the Roberts Building.
Move to approve.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Campbell to approve the use of the lot next to the Roberts Building. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 10 is to discuss and take action to allow the District Executive Committee of the Republican Party of Upshur County to use the county courtroom. They requested to have a meeting. Their letter requested to have a meeting either in this room or the Commissioner's courtroom on the 23rd at 9:30 a.m. I actually have docket call on that day, and so neither of these rooms will be available that day. But I spoke to the Republican chair, and she was going to speak to Commissioner Crittenden about other options.
Yes, sir. I spoke to Ms. Patterson last night, and she said if it was all right, if we could, I suggested the big room that we vote in at the Rock Building to hold it in there, and she said that would be okay with her. She'll need one table and about anywhere from 12 to 20 chairs over there. And if the court's okay with that. Now, in discussing with one of the members of the court here, I was told that, Ms. Brown, you got some voting equipment to store in that room. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Can it be moved out for a few hours to hold this meeting in?
It's just the black tubs.
It's worded. The agenda's worded courtroom.
I understand.
But I don't think, in maintenance, I don't think we have time to set up chairs. I mean, they're going to have to furnish their own seats.
Is there air conditioning over here, though?
I don't think there is.
No. That's not a...
I think if we don't keep it in the courthouse.
That's not a good place.
That was the only other spot that when she hit me with it last night, that I could think of that would hold. I mean, there's not going to be that many people actually meet, but it is going to be open to the public, and so they need a place that the public can walk in if they so desire. In fact, there's only going to be about five or six, probably less than 10 that meet over there, but we've got to be prepared for a larger crowd if need be.
I told Ms. Patterson that absolutely any other day that week would be fine to either use this room or the commissioner's courtroom, and probably even by 3 p.m. on the 23rd, this room would be available. I guess that's why I worded it the way I did. I left the date open on there so that we could change the date.
Okay.
And I don't mind the court voting the approval if contingent on Mr. Lawfer, the chairman of the executive committee, or Ms. Patterson letting me know within by tomorrow at 5 what day they'd like to use either of these rooms. or if there's some way you can work out the Rock Building, I don't care that either. It's just I'm concerned. I didn't think about the air conditioning until just now.
Yeah, it's going to be hot in there.
And I don't know what the JP schedule is. I mean, they possibly could meet in the courtroom over there.
I probably do have concerns
about the wording on the agenda for that.
Okay. You feel fairly confident that this will be available from at 3 o'clock that afternoon? Or somewhere near about that time?
Yes.
Okay. Let's put it tentatively for 3 o'clock that afternoon. I know their time was 9:30 to 12 or whatever, but...
Sheriff, would you mind grabbing Kristen right quick, please? Sir.
We will.
She hits me every day, so...
And you said the 24th it would be available all day?
All day, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th.
Just the one day they picked or whatever did. Could I put it in the motion to...
Okay.
Could I put it in motion to either use the courtroom from 3 p.m. on the 23rd, or if not available, the 9:30 to 12 on the 24th?
Yes.
All right, then that'll be my motion to utilize either this courtroom, the large courtroom, or the commissioner's courtroom on June the 23rd at 3 p.m. And if not available, then to use the courtroom or commissioner's courtroom on June the 24th from 9:30 to 12 on that day.
Okay.
There's no CPS or nothing else going on. Mm-hmm.
No, there's nothing else going on that week at all.
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Crabtree. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 11 is to discuss and take action to accept for filing the subdivision plat for Magnolia Ridge Phase 2. Mr. Trawick is here today, and we have a copy of the wastewater disposal plan. We've got the letter from Mr. Duke, and what we need, Mr. Trawick, is the tax certificate. If you can go get that after Commissioner's Court, I believe the Commissioners can approve the recording, subject to you getting that here in just a little bit.
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. And the clerk will need a $36 check, too. Thank you, Mr. Trawick. Item 12 is to discuss and take action to accept for filing the revised subdivision plat for Woodland Estates, and it required the change of a name on the plat. So we have to refile that one. Let's see if we got a place on here.
That might move.
Yeah.
That's the Magnolia.
Did we what? Not yet.
Magnolia, we did. We didn't.
No, we did. Yes, we did on Magnolia, but we didn't on Woodland Estates.
And there was only a name change, no lot change.
Size. Yeah, he had to change the name from Woodland something to Woodland Court.
Motion to accept the revised subdivision plat for Woodland Estates.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Crabtree to accept for filing the revised subdivision plat for Woodland Estates. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.